This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
Okay, well, let's get this going. If I keep looking down, I'm just making sure it's working.
Okay.
So, this is David Kavanagh for the International Bomber Command Centre interviewing on the 22nd of May 2018. So, if I just put that there, I'll occasionally look over like this.
So what
I wanted to do first of all, just ask a little bit about yourself. So, have you always lived in this area then?
No, I was born in Yorkshire, but I lived in Peterborough. But my grandfather lived on Nelson Street in Lincoln, and we used to go up and see him. And my aunt and my uncle were there as well, and my cousin Richard.
Right.
But they moved around to Woodall Spa and all around there in lodgings.
Right. And then I might be asking, how old would you have been during the wartime then?
I was born 1940.
Right, okay. So come the sort of Dam Busters time, you were three years old.
Yeah. I don't remember that, but my mother does.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to say anything, but my uncle did say to my mother, "Don't tell Lottie," that was his wife, "but pray for us on the 16th, or round about there."
So your uncle's name was?
Ernest Richard Bolton.
Bolton?
Bolton.
B-O-L-T-O-N.
I think he was the eldest one in the squadron. He was the he looked after the bombs, and he was the chief armourer.
Right.
He worked with Barnes Wallis. There was letters between him and Barnes Wallis, but my aunt destroyed them.
Oh dear.
I know, my cousin was furious about that.
So you don't now, after all these years, you probably don't know what exactly he was doing with Wallis then.
Well, he was at the Lady Bow.
Right, right.
And also down by the sea, wherever that was.
The Culver? Would it have been Kent?
I don't know. But it's my aunt, Etty, his sister-in-law, that told me what she knew.
Right.
Guy Gibson said to him, "As you've been here right from the beginning, would you like to go?" Now, I'd have said no, but he said yes. And he went, so there was 134 went that night. Which plane he was on, we're not sure. It could have been Guy's, we're not sure. But he cut his head badly. And when he got back, he was in hospital for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
Yeah.
So he actually went on the raid then?
He went on the raid, as an observer. Mm. As an observer. I mean, what was Guy, 24, and he would be 44.
Right. So he'd have been born in...
1900. Well, there's a photograph of him. That's his medal.
Yeah.
That's a letter from the King.
So he was awarded the, just for the recording here, he was awarded the MBE there.
Yeah.
So that's the MBE there.
Yeah.
So it's Squadron Leader Ernest R. Bolton, MBE.
Yeah. Yeah. That was from Arthur Harris.
So there's a post, well, a telegram here. Telegram here to Squadron Leader Bolton at 54 Base, which was Coningsby.
Yeah.
So my warmest congratulations on the well-deserved award of your MBE, signed by Arthur T. Harris, Air Chief Marshal.
That's right.
And can I just, for the recording, that's dated 16th of June 1945.
Yeah.
So that's from the Under Secretary of State for Air.
Maybe Johnny Johnson might know about it.
That's the Gazette.
The
London Gazette.
Yeah, and that was when he died, I think, that one, 1947.
Right.
Yeah, so you can have all those.
Yeah, right, thanks. So he's in the London Gazette then, and this is recording his death, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bolton. I don't know what MBE.
Yeah.
No, I know he died in 47.
Right. So he died January 1947 or?
Yeah, around about that time. I can remember the funeral. We weren't sure what it was, but we were, my cousin and I were pushed next door while they went to church. I think it was St Faith's. That's the nearest church to Nelson Street.
So whereabouts were you living then at this time?
Well, we were living in Peterborough, my mother and I.
Right. And Alton himself, your uncle, where would he have been based? Was he based at Scampton at the time?
Well, when he died, no, he'd retired.
Right.
And he'd got a job, and through the accident on the plane, he got cancer of the brain and died. Because of it. Yeah.
So while he was with 617 Squadron then, he's gone up in a plane, he's been injured in some way, and that led to his death in 1947.
Yeah.
Right. So he retired and then died very soon afterwards.
Lovely old chap. I can remember he always used to cook breakfast when we used to go for a weekend and put a penny on. He put his uniform on, but always liked cooking breakfast.
Know much about what he was doing before 617 Squadron?
No.
So you don't know whether he was, because Gibson tried to recruit most of the air crew and ground crew. Do you know if he would have been?
I should think he would be, but you've got to find that out. Yeah. There was a program the other night about it, but it was 2010, and they're saying that to the ground he couldn't recruit many people.
Yeah.
Not many volunteers.
No. So do you know much about what he did after the Dambusters raid then?
No, I know nothing. Now, if you ring my cousin up, he might know more.
Okay.
Because he was living with his mum and dad.
Right.
But you said he was at Coningsby.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's not far away.
Yeah, because 617 then moved, so he's probably then moved with them to Coningsby.
Yeah.
And I think they went to Woodhall Spa.
They lived at Woodhall Spa for a bit. But they did have accommodation, I think, at Scampton at one time. I remember seeing a photograph of Richard when he was a little boy, sitting on the step. Looked like an Isn Hop.
So the story about the dog, then.
The dog.
The dog. The dog called Nigger, we can say that.
I'll tell you another story about him later. But we were up at my grandfather's at Nelson Street in Lincoln for the weekend. Uncle Richard brought Nigger home and he chewed me out. I was about 2 at the time, but I thought maybe he'd gone away with his wife, but looking at this other, he had a lady friend called Margaret.
Right.
And they used to go to Honeysuckle Cottage.
So
didn't you know that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about this, but my friend Liz, her mother was his driver. And I can't remember if her name was Margaret. But they used to interview her.
Just in case. Do you remember much about the incident?
No, I remember nothing. It's what my mother always told me.
So no pictures of the dog then?
No, none at all. But funnily enough, I was in the dentist in Grantham here, and Richard Todd used to live here. And Richard came into the dentist, and being nosy, I said, "Oh, Richard, by the way," I said, "have you heard that they're going to do a remake of your film?" And he had this booming voice, and he shouted out, "And you know they're going to call the bloody dog Trigger." Oh dear, I always remember that. But they never did they?
Yeah.
Make another film.
So the story is.
All right. He's in there, and he says you've
told
got.
Tell me, I'm an idiot.
He's got a.
So the story is then, as the armourer there, he actually went on the raid itself.
Yeah, as an observer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there anything, you haven't got any documentation at all about when he was with just that?
Yes,
nothing with Wallace.
This is what my cousin put through yesterday for me. You can have all that. But if you want my cousin, you'll have to ring that number.
Yeah. So what's your cousin's name?
Richard Bolton. It's another Richard Bolton.
How did it go, Jones?
But the RAF, because my uncle died, they sent my cousin to a boarding school and paid for it. Yeah. He was at Queen's College, Taunton, Somerset.
I can never find my pen when I'm looking
on. Yeah. Just put Richard Bolton on there.
So, is that his son?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was stationed in India for a while. I'm positive he was joined the, not the RAF, but before the RAF.
Right.
So it would be one of the, what do they call it in those days? Before the RAF.
Oh, the Royal Flying Corps.
Royal Flying Corps, that's right, yeah.
So his career might go back that
far. Oh, yeah. He'd been there 25 years.
Could well do then, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Because that was 1918.
Yeah, he'd be about 18 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's one of the old school. Yeah, he was a regular.
So do you want to... For the recording, then, do you want to tell your story about your father in the tank?
Oh.
I'm going to have to repeat it again because I just got the recorded one.
Well, Dad was about, would be about five at the time, and my grandfather came home and said he was going to take Dad up to the common to see Little Willie the tank, which was called in those days the water tank of Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
And they picked him up, took a photograph of him, and put him in the tank and rode around the common with it. So he was the first child in the world
to ride on the tank. So just for the calling then, what was your father's name then?
Ernest Watkinson. Yeah.
The first child to ride on the tank.
Yeah, I know. I'm still looking for that photograph.
Yeah. As I say, you might want to try the Imperial War Museum. They
Got photographs of a woman with a dog with a long frock on and a hat.
Mm.
And two little girls, but not a little boy sitting on a tank.
Yeah.
But I would have thought the papers would have been there, the newspapers, local.
Could well be,
yeah.
If you look in the archives for them.
Well, I did ring them up, and heard no more from them.
The problem might have, though, if it was a local paper that no longer exists and where the archive could have gone. But,
but also when my father, who was in the Second World War, and he was stationed in Suffolk, near Orford.
Right.
Do you know where Orford is?
Yes. Yeah.
South of Southwold.
Yeah.
And he was on duty in the forest there, was at Rendham or Rendlesham Forest, on a field phone. And he was told what he saw that night he wasn't to divulge.
Is this the famous flashing lights?
No.
Another one.
Before that.
Oh, before that. Oh,
before
right.
that. No, no.
Because that was quite recent, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently... The Americans saw something in the woods.
The Americans saw something in the woods. No, this was during the war, this was.
Yeah,
right. And apparently the Germans landed.
Mm.
There's a shingle street.
Yeah.
And they came with rubber boats. And the Canadians, I believe it was the Canadians, Dad said, went over, dropped petrol on the top of them and dropped a bomb in the middle, and they're all buried in the forest.
Yeah.
So whether that was the film, do you remember The Eagle Has Landed?
Yeah.
That's based on that, I think.
Yeah. There's been rumours of German landings, isn't there? But nothing's ever been.
Oh yeah, well Dad saw it that night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So whether the lights came on after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had a son then, Richard Bolton, who's your cousin.
Yeah.
Was there any other children then?
He had two sons from his first marriage.
Right, okay.
But what their names are, I don't know. They were much older. His first wife died. Whether in childbirth, I'm not really sure.
So you don't know anything more about this accident that he actually had on the aircraft, other than he banged his head?
Well, he banged his head, I believe, cut it open. That's what my aunt said.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was lovely. He really was a nice man.
And you haven't got any stories handed down about, you say he was a chief armourer, but
yeah.
What his actual role was as an armourer?
Well, he was, that's all I heard. He was a chief armourer, and he worked with Barnes Wallis.
Yeah.
They were quite close. And he went round with Barnes Wallis as well. I said there was letters.
Wondering, he's clearly got involved in the development of the bouncing bomb, hasn't he?
Oh yeah.
And the various issues you'd need to set the thing on.
Yeah, well, Barnes Wallis might have, if he's written to him, he might have
copies,
yeah.
Because I think the Barnes Wallis archive now is in York, I think.
Is it?
I think it's at the York Aircraft Museum, I think.
Hmm.
It should be at Brooklands, but because that's where he worked for many years. But I don't think it is. It's either Brooklands or up in York.
Yeah.
So there might be something there.
Yeah. But I took my cousin up to Scampton, saw the grave and Guy's office.
Yeah.
And what have you?
Because it's got a big fence around it now, has it? Iron railing.
Has it? Oh.
Yeah, iron railings around the. Around the grave.
Oh yes, I saw the railings around the grave. Mm. Yeah, and funnily enough, the Red Arrows just turned up that time.
Yeah, right.
And the guide who was taking us round said, "If you wave, they'll wave back."
Yeah.
And as they came down, they waved.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's. I think that's probably all we're going to be able to do today.
Yeah.
That's a bit of background on them. Is there anything else?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
He was, I think, the oldest one in the squadron. There might have been another one on the ground crew, but definitely the flight wasn't. They were in their 20s, weren't they? I mean, even Guy was 24.
He was only 24, wasn't he?
Yeah.
David Shannon had only just turned 21.
Terrible.
Yes.
I know my uncle, as that happened in the May, my uncle, youngest brother, was 21 and a fortnight old.
Yeah.
In July he was shot in Sicily.
Right.
And he's come to medicine around in Yorkshire, and he said, if it's any consolation, we got the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And she turned round and she said, "No, you shouldn't have done that, somebody else's son."
It's always the tragedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The tragedy of war. Nobody wins in war.
Nobody wins in war.
Yeah.
My grandfathers here were all mining stock. All my uncles had gone down the mines, but my grandfather didn't want his younger son going down. He said, "You're going to be a gardener."
Mm.
So he was called up and killed. Yeah.
Yeah, dear.
Yeah.
Right, okay then. Well, I'll stop recording there. That's great. Thanks very much for that.